In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in
we continue our exploration of the great parables of our Lord Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Luke. Today is presented to us the parable of the Good Samaritan, which includes the famous commandment to go and do thou likewise. It is a parable of good works, if there ever was one. The man left in the ditch by robbers is ignored by the religious people, by the priest and the Levite, but is helped by the Samaritan, the foreigner, the stranger, one of a people considered by the regular Jews to be heretics and unwelcome in Jewish society. First, this parable, brothers and sisters, is a reminder that any and all of us are capable of doing good in this life. It's second nature for us, regardless of our religious affiliation. God has created us for good, to do good, to express and reflect His image as icons of God in the world, to care and to take care of one another. Since the Lord Himself is our great caretaker. And as a side note, despite of what you may have heard recently, America is a compassionate and generous nation. In fact, it is only the most compassionate and generous nation in the entire history of mankind. And there are empirical numbers to prove it, which are indisputable. We help our own, but also billions of dollars in aid are sent around the globe for decades now to the most impoverished areas of the world. We have been a Good Samaritan nation. And one can question the details of where and how the money was spent, just as we question ourselves personally when deciding whether or not to give to a panhandler, wondering if that money will be well spent. But anyway, back to the spiritual aspects of our parable. It is interesting to note that the episode following the parable in the 10th chapter of Luke is the Mary and Martha visit by our Lord. It's Martha, who is busy doing good works of service, and is exasperated with her sister Mary, who just sat at Jesus' feet. And as we know, it is Mary who is praised by the Lord, and Martha who is chided for being anxious and troubled about many things. It's almost a corrective to the parable of the Good Samaritan, and it follows immediately after. A reminder that as important as the good works are, but there is something more vital, what the Lord famously referred to as the one thing needful, and that Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet and listening and not working, not doing good works, apparently, that she has chosen the good part, as our Lord calls it, the good part, that she's made a better choice to sit in faith without work. Go figure. And our epistle today, a well-quoted one from the second chapter of Ephesians, is profoundly bipolar on the subject of faith and good works. Well, it's most famous half-quoted it's the most famous half-quoted passage of Scripture. The preachers of grace alone, faith alone, will quote the first part constantly, but neglect the second part, leave off the second part. For we heard this morning, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Stop. But it goes on in the 10th verse, for we are his workmanship, We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you would just read the first part, it would indeed conclude that all you need is faith. That it's sufficient. You're saved by faith. Orthodoxy strives to be faithful to the entire Word of God in context and is not afraid of paradox, of holding together seemingly contradictory statements in the Scriptures and in the Christian faith. While the human mind inclines to the either-or, to go to the either-or answers, it's got to be one or the other, Orthodoxy resists these limitations. Is it faith or works by which we live as Christians? Is it faith or works? Orthodoxy says yes. Is it grace or works? Orthodoxy says yes. Is it scripture or tradition? It's and both. It's faith and works because the Bible tells me so. The faith versus works issue, however, is not a mere academic question, since it provoked a huge split, a huge fight and split in Christianity known as the Protestant Reformation. Which leads us to another either-or question. Are you Protestant or Catholic? No, I'm Orthodox. Are you for faith or works? Yes, indeed. Are you saved by grace? Yes. Are you saved by works? Absolutely. Yes, if Ephesians is true in stating that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, how can we be saved if we fail to fulfill the very purpose of our creation, of our existence? Monasticism is at the heart of Orthodox spirituality. St. John Climacus of Sinai said, "The angels serve as light to the monks, and the monks serve as light to the people of the world." The elder Paisius of our time talks about an incident on the Holy Mountain. He says two Roman Catholic architects from Rome came to visit the Holy Mountain, probably to look at the church architecture there, on the amazing and beautiful monasteries there on the Holy Mountain. And they came to visit the cell of Elder Paisius when he was still living on the Holy Mountain. And they asked him, the elder says, "What are the monks doing by staying here? What are they doing? Why don't they go out into the world to do social work, to do good?" And the elder answered, "Aren't beacons always set upon rocky heights? Why should they go to the cities and be added to the streetlights?" He said, "Lighthouses have one mission, to illumine dangerous places for the ships to be able to sail safely through harbor." He says, "Lighthouses have one mission, and streetlights have another." He said, "The monk is not a small streetlight to be put in a city at the side of the street to light pedestrians so they don't stumble. A monk," he said, "is an isolated beacon positioned high on the crags of a rocky shore to provide light and direction for those upon the seas and the oceans so that they may guide their ships to reach their destination, to reach God." So here's a paradox. Here's a paradox. It would appear that the monastics of Orthodoxy incline toward the faith alone position, taking the role of Mary rather than Martha. They go to the monastery not for good works, but to sit at the feet of Jesus, to live by their faith. And the elder explains it this way. He said, "A monk is interested in his own salvation and in the salvation of all the living and departed." He said, "For a monk, the real divine love is to be found in the pain endured for the salvation of his soul and in the pain endured for the salvation of all the people in the world." He said, "The dedicated soul of a monk contributes to the salvation not only of his family members, but also of his compatriots, fellow citizens." So this is why there was a good tradition in Asia Minor to have at least one monk from every family in order to, for him to intercede for all the others. And he said, a monk, of course, would never say, I want to save the world, but he will surely pray for the salvation of all the people in the world together with his own salvation. And when the benevolent God hears his prayer and indeed helps the people, the monk again would not say, I've saved the people, but rather, God saved the people. And the elder continues, he says, God does not ask monks to go out into the world to hold people's hands and to help them walk. Rather, he asks them by their life to provide a light to guide people to eternal life. In other words, the monk's mission is not to help people by being in the world. A monk flees far from the world, not because he hates people, but because he loves them. And only by living far from the world will he be able to help them with his prayer in whatever cannot be done by human means, but only through divine intervention. He says, this is why a monk must be in constant communion with God to receive messages and to show people the way to God. Brothers and sisters, what is our conclusion? The greatest good work, therefore, is prayer. Is prayer. Pray for ourselves, pray for others. Is prayer not a good work? Indeed it is. It is also an act of faith. Of faith working in love, as we read in Galatians. Faith working in love, faith working in prayer. That's it. There is the active physical intercession shown us by the Good Samaritan and by Martha serving in the kitchen. And there is the contemplative spiritual intercession shown us by Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet, and by the holy monastics who also seek the one thing needful and intercede for the whole world. Faith in works, prayer, tying it all together. And as many have said, it is because of those monks and nuns living where they are and praying and worshiping around the clock, it is because of them that God allows the sinful world to continue, to give it more time for repentance, even as it is sinking. The holy ones persevere, and they preserve the world by their prayer. What better work can there be? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.